Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Nice, perfect weather outside. Before I jump in, I had a couple things I wanted to say. So when somebody commits either to the Crossings Church or their life to Christ, we love to recognize them here. You know, the Bible talks about when you surrender your life to Christ, you are called you're called a child of Christ. And for all of us that know who have had children or have been around children know that those children need help, they need encouragement, and they need support. But when they're born, there's a celebration of life. And the same is said about Christians whenever they when they die to Christ. And I get the honor to say two different people. So, Michael, why don't you come on up here, buddy? Michael studied the Bible with Kyle and Alalua over the last few weeks, and he decided to surrender his life to Christ, and it's been an awesome opportunity to get to know him and spend time with campus ministry. So I'm proud of you, man, and I'm glad that you're here. And then, no matter age, baby or old, Michelle Dickerson, come on up, because Michelle studied the Bible with June and Kathy, and I don't know you well yet, but I know June and Kathy so well, and I cannot wait to get to know you more. I do know she's old. I'm already in trouble. But yeah, they'll walk through that book with you, and it's just a blessing to know that you're here, and we're glad you're here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to jump right into the sermon today. So we've been going through a series called Real True Cinema, and what we've done is we found movies that aren't necessarily incredibly blockbuster popular, but they're popular enough to gain notice and attention. And we find stories that we can pull from these movies to illustrate what Scripture has to say, which is crazy because that's what Jesus did quite often. Was Jesus would find things that the common people would relate to, and he'd use parables that would help them understand. And I think it's awesome that we can find a way to use movies to do that here at a church as well. And so, you know, last week we went through this movie called Simon Birch, and it was a great story, an incredible story, just being called to do what God has called you for. And then, you know, last night we all met here at the church building, and we watched the movie The Kid Who Would Be King. And this movie, it's a pretty cool movie. It's about King Arthur, right? It's another story of King Arthur, but it's modernized to today's generation. So it would have been like, if the sword and the stone was found today, what would this look like? And so you have these British schoolboys that had found the sword, and they were bullied a lot as kids, and they find it, and then it turns into like a laughing stock, because like, this can't really be the sword, and then it ends up actually being the sword. And the whole movie is just this journey that these two boys have to find other knights, to find other people, to join this battle, that there's this demon, there's this, you know, King Arthur's sister, her name is Morgana, and she's this evil presence that feels like she deserves the crown, she deserves the throne, and she has kind of turned to dark sorcery in the movie and has kind of waited for her moment to come back. Right, and so the whole movie is about these two kids realizing that it is time, that evil thinks that it is time, that it's their opportunity to come up and seize this world for once and for all. And I'm like, what a great illustration for our sermon today. Because if you can think about the world that we live in today, it is in the same world. If you look at the generation that we live in, and the society that we live in, and the culture that we're in today, and the news, and you see all around the world the wars, and evil is present. It's not, you don't have to look too far to realize that there is evil in this world. But what we have to understand, what we have to come to terms with, is that just like in this movie, the evil is wanting to take its shot at you. Evil is wanting to take its shot at you to say that this is the time that I'm going to win. This is the time that I'm going to take over your life and I'm going to take control. Listen to this verse in Ephesians 6:12. I love how the Message puts this, but it says, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we're going to walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This one's for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. You see, what he's saying is, this isn't just another game. This isn't just another battle. This isn't just a small fight in your life. When it comes to evil and what Satan is trying to do in our lives, this is for keeps. This is for life or death. And evil is having that fight right now. And just like in this movie, it feels like it's time for this evil to come out. Morgana feels like it's time that she can finally come out. And Satan is no different in the world today. Satan is looking at the world that we live in. He's looking at your life, and he's looking at your context, the way that you grew up, the things that you've put in your life, and he's saying, this is my window. This is my time, and we have to figure out what it is that we're supposed to respond with this evil. as this evil continues and it gets further and further and it gets more widespread, you're going to start to see different tendencies and traits in the world too. It says in Matthew 24, 12, it says, there will be more and more evil in the world. So most people will stop showing their love for each other. And, you know, I'm not super seasoned, you know, I'm not super old. I don't think that you are either, Michelle. not a day over 29, right? And so, but I do know when I talk to the older generation, they feel like, and you can nod your heads too if you feel like you're in that world, you feel like this world is getting worse, don't you? Right? It wasn't like this 20 or 30 years ago with some of the things that you guys have with relationships that you guys have with friends and the way that people interact with each other, that you can tell that when you look at this new generation, like, this is getting worse. People are getting worse. Interactions are getting worse. And this Bible verse comes into context. It says there will be more and more of this as the world goes on. The way that the world treats each other is going to get worse. And so we have to understand that there is something that we have to do about this evil in this world. We need to understand that it's here, but we need to figure out what is it that God wants us to do with this evil. If we know that it's here and it's living and it's among us, what are we supposed to do about this? And so what we're going to do today is we're going to show a couple clips of the movie and look at some illustration, but I found 5 points that I feel like, what does God want us to do with this evil? And the first point is that God does not want us to deny evil. He wants us to face it. Don't deny evil, face it. And there's two ways that shows up. The first way is in the world. We can't deny evil in the world. We have to face it. It says in Leviticus 20, verses 4 and 5, it says, if the people of the land look the other way as if nothing had happened when a man gives his child to the god Molech, I will resolutely reject all who join him. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, there was a lot of false idols. There was a prophet, or there was a false god Baal. Molech was one of the guys. And he was a god that the Ammonite people would choose to worship. And the thing about Molech and the thing about how he was, you know, worshipped was he felt that the way to show worship was that they need to sacrifice their babies to Molech, to this god Molech. And it might be Malech. I'm not sure about how you pronounce this god's name. But essentially what he was saying was, if you want to worship me, if you want to show service to me, here, you know, the God that we serve, the God of the Bible, you know, he says that we worship by singing, we worship by praying, we worship by serving. This God says, you worship me by killing your babies on a fiery altar. You throw your babies on top of a bunch of wood and light them up, and that's what it looks like to love me. And God could not stand this. And God says, if anyone looks the other way as if nothing's going on, I'm going to reject those people. Now watch this clip of what happens once Alex realizes that he has actually drawn the real sword and that there is an actual spiritual battle, or not a spiritual battle, but there's an actual battle between Morgana and him that is really going to happen. So let's look at this clip real quick.
Have you seen the world outside your window? This land is divided. Lost and leaderless, men's hearts have grown hollow. That's why our strength returns. And that is why the sword has returned.
And I'm supposed to stop her? That's ridiculous. I'm 12. I'm not even old enough to do a paper round. You'll have to find someone else. It's too dangerous. We'll die. So, there's your sword back. It's been great to meet you, and good luck with everything.
Your quest has been decided. There is no turning back.
You must find the entrance to the underworld. Defeat Morgana in her own realm before the moon masks the sun, or you, your people, and the land on which you live are doomed. You have been chosen to save your kingdom from slavery. That was exhausting.
And so you see this image that this kid realized that this is real, and he's like, I don't want anything to do with this. You know, I don't want, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to act like this is too dangerous. Here's your sword. Good luck with that. And when we look at this, we have to understand that we cannot deny that there is evil on this earth. We cannot run from it. We cannot hide from it. We cannot ignore it. And we can't look the other way. And just like Alex and Merlin talked about, Alex said, you've been chosen. If you call yourself a disciple, if you call yourself a Christian, you have been chosen to face the evil of this world. You've not been chosen to hide. You've not been chosen to shield yourself. You've not been chosen to wait and look the other way when you see evil. You've been chosen to face it. It says in James 4:17, it says, anyone who knows the right thing to do but does not do it is sinning. And God says, you cannot look the other way. You cannot ignore these things that are happening in your life. You have to make sure that you're a part of this. You know, as a parent, as a new parent, you know, my kids are pretty young, but I think a lot of times Christian parents tend to struggle with this tendency with their own children. Because I think sometimes we think that if we choose to shield our kids from the evil world, we're protecting them, but we're really not. When you choose to take your kids and shield them and say, that's too dangerous for you, the world is a nasty place. You know, you don't need to be around those kind of things. You're not protecting your children if that's the way that you choose to parent your kids. Because what you're doing is you're setting them up for naiveness, because one day evil will show up in their life whether you like it or not. Evil will take its turn on your kid whether you like it or not. And so you have a choice. You can choose as a parent to start getting them ready and prepare them to face these evils one day, or you can shield them and make them ignore it and be naive to it so when it shows up they have no idea how to handle it. And so there is a way to be a part of the world and face the evil without getting into it. It says in Ephesians 5:11, it says, take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness, but instead rebuke and expose it. And so we have to understand, starting off, that we have a role in evil, but that doesn't mean that we have to participate in it. There's a way to teach and train your children. There's a way for you yourself to look at evil in the world and say, I know I need to face this, but that doesn't mean I have to participate and be a part of it. And that's the first thing we got to talk about, is we have to recognize that there really is an evil in this world and we cannot ignore it. So it's not just in the world, but also it's in myself. So not only in the world do we have to realize that this is something that we have to deal with, but it's in yourself as well. And there's a part in the movie where it talks about there's this knight's code. And you know, Merlin gets him off. He's like, you don't know the knight's code. If you don't know this knight's code and you don't live by this code, then your whole enterprise is already destroyed before it even begins. And he talks about you can't lie, you can't dishonor people, you can't give up, you have to persevere. And he gives all these characters that are internal. He says these are things that you have to do within yourself. And we have to understand that this evil is not just a part of this world, but there's an evil that lives within us as well. It says in Romans 7:18, it says, I know that good does not live in me, in my human nature. Even though the desire to do good is in me, I'm not able to do it. See, we have to recognize that we are not good people. You know, we are not in our human nature, we are not good people. And that's a hard thing to say, and that's a hard truth to swallow. But the reason that we are like that is because of how the world has kind of contextually designed us as we've grown up. We've watched media as we've grown up. We've watched relationships with friends. We've grown up in this world, and it makes sense that our human nature is to follow the path of what the world has given us. And so when we look at ourselves, just like it says here in Romans, just like Paul says, I know that good doesn't live in me, in my human nature, in my DNA, the way that I've been wired, good is not there. I have a desire, but I'm not able to do it because my nature usually supersedes and overrides that. And so we have to understand that there is even an evil in myself that we have to battle. There's character traits in our hearts that we have to battle and we have to fight against, but we have to recognize that they are there. We can't ignore our own hearts just like we can't ignore the world. So what do we do about that? Proverbs 28:13. It says, people who cover over their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and forsake them, they will receive mercy. And what he's saying here is when you have evil in your heart, you can't conceal it. You can't hide it. You can't just act like it's not there. But you've got to talk about it. You've got to bring it out. You've got to confess it. You've got to repent about it. You've got to look at it and expose it. You've got to show other people that there is an evil there and you want to deal with it, not ignore it and act like nothing's there. Have you ever seen this, for example? Have you ever walked into a church and everybody acts like their lives are perfect? It's like the Stepford Wives church, right? Where you just walk in and everybody's like, oh, hello, you know, it was just a normal week, mowing the lawn, going to work, you know, getting the kids dinner. But like, you know that that's not the case, right? Because, you know, people don't just live like that. You know, there's divorce in the world. You know, there's abuse in the world. You know, there's neglect in the world. You know, there's addictions in the world. And to think that a church would just act like they have it all together is a church that's naive and a church that's trying to pretend like this evil doesn't exist. And if you really want to work on this evil and deal with it the way that God wants you to, you have to expose it and you have to get it out and find people around you. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So not only do you need to deny evil, but face it. But the second point is you can't accept evil. You have to hate it. Don't accept evil. Hate it. See, in Exodus 23:2, it says, do not join a crowd that intends to do evil. You see, what evil wants us to do, and when it gets into our lives, it wants us to think that that's the only way we can succeed. It wants us to think, this world is controlled by evil, so if you want to succeed in this life, you have to fall in line. If you want to be successful one day, the only way to be successful is to be selfish and self-centered. So that's what you got to do if you want to be successful. Accept this is the world that you live in. And that's not the case at all. You see, once again, we have another clip here of Alex, and he meets Morgana face-to-face, and there's a moment where he realizes that maybe he is not what he's called to be. So let's watch this clip real quick. Cut off a little bit, but essentially at the very beginning of that, she's sitting there and she's telling him everything that's wrong with him and how weak he is. And she's like, you're so weak. Your enterprise has been compromised. You're nothing. Your father lied to you. Your mother lied to you. Your friends are not what they are. And she's pretty much just like, you aren't anything. And then, you know, he has that moment where he's like, you're right. And he's willing to accept that, like, this is just who he is. You know, and obviously there was a trick in there. But that's what the world wants us to believe. The world wants us to believe that we are nothing and that evil is the only way that we're going to be able to get something out of this life. He says in Proverbs 25:26, it says, if the godly compromise with the wicked, it's like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring. You see, whenever we choose to bring evil into our lives and we say it's not that bad, these little things aren't that big of a deal, it ends up being a great deal. You know, one of my good friends, he talked about back in the day whenever he was in youth ministry, his youth leader, it's kind of funny, his youth leader, they went out, like we do cross chats, and so it's like a weekly Bible study thing that we do when we bring people in. And so this youth leader decided that this cross chat was a hot summer day, they were going to go out and play basketball. And they're going to get all his kids really hot and really sweaty and just really exhausted, right? And then he had this 5-gallon cooler of lemonade, right? And that was the only drink he had offered. They didn't bring sodas, they didn't bring water. He just got a 5-gallon bucket of this lemonade. And these kids are just parched, right? And so they come in and they're all chugging this lemonade left and right because they're so hot, they're so exhausted, and it's the only cool drink, right? And then they sit down and they have the lesson. And this youth leader says, man, I'm so glad that you guys were able to drink. How everybody liked that lemonade? They're like, that lemonade slapped. That lemonade was great. That lemonade was on. That was fire. I love this stuff, right? And he goes, well, good, because I wasn't sure if you guys were going to like it or not because I actually put a little drop of my urine in it. But it was just one drop. So it was a 5-gallon cooler. It was just one drop. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. And they're losing their minds. What? What? You guys, you did what? And they're going crazy on him. And there's guests there, though, that didn't go to part. And they're starting to cuss. And like, what the? This dude he's trying to poison us. He's like, it was just a little bit of pee. It was just a little bit of pee. Like, it's not that big of a deal, right? And they're like, no, that's a big deal. If your pee was in that lemonade and I drank it, that's a big deal to me, you know? And they're losing their minds. And what he ends up saying is, he says, see, that's the problem with sin. Because the littlest piece of sin will destroy the whole batch. And just like in the situation and just like in the story, if you call yourself a Christian or you're trying to live your life for God, and you bring the littlest compromise into your life, It destroys the whole character integrity of who you are. And we don't think of it like that. We think of the big sins, right? We think of like adultery. We think about abuse. We think about neglect. We think about just complete, terrible, and utter sin that we're like, those are the things that we stay away from. But we don't think about the small compromises that we make. We don't think about the selfish ambition. We don't think about the pride. We don't think about the self-centeredness. We don't think about these small things that we do day to day. We don't think about the media that we get ourselves involved in. We don't think about the music that we listen to. We don't think about the TV shows that we indulge that are probably compromising just that little drop of pee in a Christian's life. If somebody in the church peeked in your room and watched what you're watching, or they put the headphones on and they listen to what you're listening to, it's just a little drop of pee. That's the way we look at it, right? But what does God say? The smallest compromise pollutes the whole batch. We have to make a stand against evil that says that we have to hate evil. We can't compromise. We can't accept. We can't fall in line with it. It says in Psalms 97:10, it says, "Let those who love the Lord hate evil." You have to make a stance. We have to make a stance. We can't compromise. We can't be half in, half out. We have to make a stance to hate this evil and do everything we can to get it out of our lives if we truly want to deal with evil the way that God has called us to. So not only can we not accept evil, but we have to hate it. The third point is we don't fear evil. You cannot fear evil. You have to resist it. Don't fear evil. Resist it. I can't say this verse without trying to rhyme it. Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How many of you guys, like, every time you read that verse, you're like, the song pops in my head. Dun, 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 dun. Right? And you just go right into it. The campus loves it when I sing. They ask me to sing at every baptism. It's one of my biggest strengths as a Christian. Right? I'm terrible at singing. That's why people say that. But yes, so when you read this verse and you look through this, a lot of times I've heard this verse thousands of times from the song, but sometimes I just haven't really read it and like understood what it meant and put it into a practical application. But literally what it's talking about is even in the hardest of times, the most scary of times, the walking through this valley of the shadow of death, that's a fearful time to walk through, a place to walk through. He makes a choice to not fear evil, even though that's where he's at. And we have to understand that we all walk these walks. And we're going to watch a little bit of a longer clip, but let's watch this clip. And this is a clip that kind of shows that this boy, Alex, when he realizes that there's a moment that his reality is not what he really thought it was going to be. So let's watch this clip, and then we'll jump back in.
What did your mom tell you about him?
She said they were too young when they had me. He had other things going on in his life. She said he was battling demons. I didn't know what she meant, but I do now.
You do?
It's okay. You don't have to lie to me. I know who he really was.
Then why would you want to find him?
What do you mean?
He drank. He was angry at everything and everyone. He wasn't a good man, Alex. He lived here for a while, years back. That's when your mum brought you to see him. She thought he might have changed, but he hadn't. I don't even know where he is anymore. Like you said, he had his demons.
But I meant real demons. Magical demons. Like King Othford. Like in the book he gave me. You don't understand. I'm the once and future king, and he knew. He wrote me this message, and he's waiting for me.
But Alex, your mum bought you this book. This is her writing.
Go! I want to be king. I want to be queen.
Did you find him?
What did he say?
Dad's not here. And he's not a hero. He didn't care about me. And he didn't want to know me. He didn't even give me the book. My mom lied to me. It's all a lie. I hate her. Hey, Alex, I have to show you something. Hold out your hand. Now squeeze as hard as you can. Open your hand. I did it. I couldn't sleep, so I practiced and practiced. And now I can do it. I can do real magic. You can't give up. It's not allowed. We're Han and Chewie, Frodo and Samwise. We can't give up because look how far we've come.
He's right. We've survived three nights against the mortars, Miles. Hundreds of them. All leathery and on fire. Their faces are falling off and everything.
You got us here. You turned us from enemies into allies. Just like King Arthur did, just like in the legend.
You drew Excalibur, Alex. Nothing else matters.
This book you covet, Alexander. Not bad. Pretty illustrations. But not entirely accurate. Remember, legends are mere rumors whispered down the centuries, written and rewritten, told and retold, sometimes by the rich and powerful, so they can hold on to power. The sword doesn't care who your parents are. It doesn't choose by birth or blood, Alexander, but by heart and mind. If your legends say different, then perhaps you must write them anew.
You see, Alex had an idea of what his dad was like his whole life. And then once he realized that that wasn't the reality, you can tell that there was a fear that had set in. That maybe he wasn't able, or he wasn't going to be able to do, you know, what he thought he was going to be able to do. And just like Alex, I think that we all have these valleys in our lives that we walk through, these scary moments. And it could be something that maybe you grew up with, and you grew up in a world that it wasn't set for you to have success growing up. Maybe you're afraid that you're going to be a product of your environment, and you're just going to return to do the same things that the context of your family's seen. Maybe there's been some kind of abuse or something that's happened in your life, some kind of thing that you look at, and you're like, this is going to scar me, and I'm afraid because I don't know what my life can look like moving forward. Maybe there was some kind of abandonment or there's some kind of addiction that you're just so afraid because you don't know how in the world you're going to get out of these things. These are all valleys that we walk through as people on this earth. And it's easy, you know, for me, it's easy to relate to Alex with the dad situation. And if you guys know me, you know my story. I grew up without a dad. And the same kind of demons that haunted this kid's life were the same kind of demons that haunted my life with my dad. And we have to understand that this fear cannot control us. This fear cannot dictate us, and this fear cannot lead us to wherever direction that we think the fear wants us to go, because that's what Satan does. You know, Satan comes in and he brings this evil into our lives, things that sometimes, most times, we don't have any control over because he wants to scare us, because he wants us to think and to feel that we are not capable of doing anything else outside of that. But we have to understand that this fear cannot control us, because it will dictate the rest of your life. For whatever that thing is for you guys, I don't know what it is for you, but I know, like for me with my dad, I still have always had a fear, and a fear has always lived in me that is like, I'm going to be exactly like my dad. I'm not going to be anything different than my dad. I don't know how to parent well because my dad didn't parent me well. I don't know how to be a good husband because I've never seen an image of a good husband. And all of these things, you know, when I was a little kid, it didn't really set in as much. But as I got to middle school and to high school, I started to see the reality that there really was a fear in me of what I was going to turn into growing up. And that was scary. And for a lot of you guys, you probably had those same windows and those same moments where you looked at your life and you're like, I'm pretty scared because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know who I'm going to turn to. I don't know how to resist this evil that has always made me afraid in life. And so what I want to encourage you guys with today is for you to understand that if you're trying to fight this evil by yourself, you won't win. You won't be able to overcome this. You won't be able to resist this because it's only with the power of God for me that I was able to get out of that fear, and that's the only way for you guys as well. It says in 1 John 4:4, it says, God's Spirit who is in you is greater than the devil who is in this world. You guys, if you get anything out of this lesson today, I want you guys to understand that God is greater than your fears. And with His help, and only with His help, can you resist all of these scary valleys that the world is going to throw at you. And just like Alex's friend told him, and I'm encouraging you guys today, is that you can't give up. We've all been in that spot before where we just want to give up. What's the point? How are we going to get through this? How am I supposed to be anything different because of this? And just like Alex's friend showed up, says, you can't give up. And I'm pleading with you guys today, please do not give up without trying to give God a chance. Give God a chance to show His power and what He can do in your life before you throw in the towel because you're so discouraged or you're just ready to give up on yourself. And what does that look like? What does that look like whenever we choose to put God into our lives and to see what it looks like? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12 kind of gives us an illustration of what that could look like because it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can fight against the devil's evil tricks. Our fight is not against people on earth, but against the rulers and authorities of the powers of this world's darkness, against the spiritual powers of the evil and the heavenly world. And you see, guys, we so much want to point the finger at physical people. Right? That person is evil. That person is evil. That person has done something evil to me. And this may not be a fun truth to listen to, but guys, it's not people that you're fighting. It's not. You guys all have people in your heads. I have people in my heads. I want to point the finger at my dad. You guys want to point the finger at those people who've done wrong to you. That's not where the fingers need to get pointed. This verse helps illustrate that. It's not about people. There are powers going on in this world. There are things that this world does to people that makes them want to do those things to you. My dad's demons or struggles with alcoholism and leaving our family, I don't point my finger anymore at my dad. I used to for years. I used to hate my dad. I used to look at my dad's life and say, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to be like you. And it wasn't until I grew up that I realized that those are the same things that I could potentially struggle with too because of the way that the world is viewed and the way that the world throws things in my face. And so I started to see that it makes sense why people can be the way that they are because if you look at the world, how do you not think that people can be the way that they are because of the way that the world's ran? And so we have to understand that this fight is not with people, but it's with a spiritual force, and you have to have a spiritual power. You have to have something outside of yourself that can help aid you in this force. And that's God. And so we have to understand that we have to be able to get over our fears and resist this, but that's not something you're going to be able to do on your own. You can't be convinced, not a motivational speaker, nothing like that's going to get you out of that fear. You have to have something supernatural come into your life to help you fight against something else supernatural. And that's a relationship with God. Our fourth point. Don't return evil, but overcome it. Because this is naturally where we want to go whenever evil hits us, right? We want to clap back, right? We want to go right back into it. We want to say, all right, this is what you're going to do to me. This is what I'm going to do to you, you know? And we choose to want to fight back with people whenever we see the evil hits us and it hurts us and it does something to us. It says in Romans 12:21, it says, do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. We just have a natural tendency to want to be mean back, right? You know, when when we parent our kids and things like that, sometimes my wife and I have differences of opinions on what we should do with our kids. Like if like one of our kids is like, she bit her, you know, or something like that, you know, I'm like, you need to not bite. And it's funny because there's a balance between how we feel about parenting, but like sometimes we're on different extremes. And sometimes I'm like, you need to be super passive. Like you need to be a pacifist in this, and you don't attack at all. And that's definitely not the right, you know, definitely not the right way to handle it at all. But then my wife sometimes can be on the other extreme of it. She's like, if she bites you, you bite her back, you know? And I'm like, well, that can't be it either. Like, we can't just make them be, like, super sensitive and reserved, but we can't just make them, like, super unaggressive, like, going right back, right, like, going right back at them, being like, I can bite harder than you, so I'm the alpha in this family, you know? And so there's a complete difference. There's got to be a balance in the middle that we got to teach our kids to be tough, but also to be wise in how they handle situations, right? And the same thing can happen with evil, right? Sometimes we think our only response is to bite back. Our only response is to hit back. Our only response is, this is what you did to me, so why would you not think I'm gonna do that to you? Watch this clip of what happens whenever Alex confronts, you know, Lance, because Lance was his bully in school. And he has a window here to talk about what happened. So watch this clip about how Alex interacts with Lance.
Don't teach him.
Leave him alone. I said, leave him alone.
Why should we?
Because you always ruin everything. Because you're a liar and a cheat and a bully. You're a bad person. I wish I'd never asked you to join in. All you ever cared about is yourself.
Yeah? So what if I do?
I know why you're a bully and a cheat. And a liar. I know why both of you are. It's because you're scared. You're scared you're a nothing, a nobody. You're scared you're not gonna get anywhere or be anyone. You think all that matters is how strong you are and how much money you've got.
Why don't you shut up and fight?
But it shouldn't be like that. That's why the sword came. That's what we're trying to change.
Yeah? Well, who made you better than everyone else? Who made you king?
Excalibur. You broke everything. That's right. Walk away. Look after yourself, just like you always do.
Maybe you're right. Maybe he is a liar and a cheat and a bully. Maybe he is scared and selfish. Maybe we both are. But why wouldn't we be? That is how the world works. Nothing you or anyone does is ever gonna change that. I'm sorry we picked on you. I'm sorry he broke the sword. But we're not knights. We never were and we never will be. You're better off without us.
You see, when it comes to evil and returning it, it's crazy like this illustration has with the sword. Because what else are we supposed to do? Just like Kay said there at the end, she goes, why wouldn't we be the way that we are? That's the way the world works, isn't it? And we have to understand that it's not our role to fight fire with fire. It's not our role to return evil. Because even whenever, the coolest thing about that scene is when Alex is there with Lance, and Lance is literally like, why won't you fight me? Because he's getting angry because of what Alex is saying. He's like, why won't you fight back? And see, it's not our role to fight the way that the world fights. It's not our role to fight dirty because the world fights dirty. But what's so cool about the situation is he says, listen, you are the way that you are. You are a bully. You are a liar. You are a cheat. But it doesn't have to be like that. And if there's any message in this story that makes sense, it's the message of that Excalibur being the Son of God. And it's the church and it's the people in our world that hurt us. And we look at them and we say, listen, I know that you are the way that you are, but it doesn't have to be like that anymore. You don't have to be like that anymore. Because just like the sword came into the scene for this, for there to be hope, Jesus came to this earth to give us hope. And when you look at your life and you look at the evil and you look at the things that consumed you and you look at what am I supposed to do, today, you know, is a call for hope for you guys to understand it doesn't have to be like that anymore. Your life does not have to be the way that it is anymore. Because Jesus came and he died on the cross and he did that to fight against evil and to give you an opportunity to have something different. Look at this in 1 John 3:8. It says, the Son of God came for this purpose, to destroy the devil's work. You see, guys, Jesus came, and it's kind of cool because if you kind of like put some verses together, you'll realize the Bible talks about the Word of God being a double-edged sword, and the Bible also talks about that the Word is God in flesh, and the Trinity, God is Jesus, so you can infer that Jesus kind of is a sword in some context of Scripture. A perfect illustration. Guys, God came and sent his Son so that you guys can know that it doesn't have to be like it has been lately. The life that you have, the things that you're struggling with, the evil that's been consumed around you, you don't have to be like that anymore. You don't have to fight that way anymore. But there's a way for you to overcome that. So what we're going to do here in a second is we're going to take communion. And I want you guys to remember, and I want you guys to think about that as we sing this song, is I want you guys to think about the way that Jesus has designed himself to put himself down here on this earth, just like this sword, saying it's time, evil has done its job, and now it's my time to restore hope in this world. That's exactly why Jesus came. And he said, I need to send a message to my people saying that it doesn't have to be like this anymore. And I know a lot of you guys are in that spot, and it's been a rough year. It's been a rough couple years. But guys, if you can remember what Jesus did on the cross, he wants us to understand that there is a world that is not this world, that there is a world where there is no evil. There is a world where there is hope. There is a world where there is blessings. There is a world that is so much different than this world, and we don't have to worry about the evil. And the only way that that world has become accessible to us is because Jesus came and died on the cross for us. And because of that sacrifice, we have an opportunity to live in a world one day that has no evil. So I want you guys to think about that. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to wrap the sermon up today. Let me say a prayer, and then we're going to pass communion today. We're actually going back into communion, so we have some people that are going to pass communions. And the cracker and the cup are together, the cracker and the wine, they're together in two cups. So when you grab them, just grab two cups at one time because the cracker will be underneath of the wine or the grape juice. So I'll say a prayer, and then we're going to pass it around. God, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to know that there is another world that I could live in one day. To know that there is a world without evil, to know that the things that I had struggled with and the things that I still struggle with, that there is a place one day that you've set for me that won't have the evil, that won't have the struggles, that won't have the hurt. And the only way, God, that I've been able to access that or even have a chance to be a part of that is that you sent your Son to die on a cross. That you sent somebody that was blameless, that had done no wrong, that had no evil in their life to eliminate all evil, Lord. And so, God, I thank you so much for that Son. I thank you so much for the opportunity. I thank you so much for the people that you have chosen to give that opportunity to have, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so the last point that we have today is if we really figure out what to do with this evil, we need to understand you don't fight evil alone. You fight it together. Don't fight evil alone. Fight it together. And we're going to play a clip that shows kind of how this team came together at the end to finally, once and for all, fight off this evil that kind of hit the school. So let's watch this clip, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Quiet! Listen! This country is in danger. Sorceress called Morgana has been sleeping under our soil for centuries, waiting for her moment to return and enslave us. And that moment has come.
In 2 hours, there will be an eclipse. Morgana and her army of undead knights will attack the school. We need you to help us defeat her.
All you have to do is kneel and let Alex knight you. Everyone who does
gets a sword and armor. This isn't a game. This is 100% for real. Flaming swords, fire-breathing horses. So don't step up unless you're ready. Me and Bedders used to hate Lance and Kay, and they hated us. We were sworn enemies. But now we know that's how evil tricks you. It turns people against each other to distract them from itself, because it knows that if we fight together, it doesn't stand a chance. So who will stand with us today? Who will stand up to save their friends, their future, their country? Who will join us?
And by the way, this is instead of lessons today.
When I watched that the first time, I was like, how in the world am I going to tie this into this? Because none of those kids responded. Like, they were all just like quiet the whole time. I'm like, I guess forming a team is not going to work, you know. But we have to understand we have to fight it together, right? And if you read Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So we understand that there, just the logic in it, that when you have more people working towards a common goal, it is stronger. There's no doubt about that, right? That there, whenever you choose to form up and you team up, you tend to have more success with whatever your goal you're trying to achieve. And just like this verse talks about, knowing that there is a team that you need to build and people that you need to surround yourself with is essential for any kind of success. So it would make sense that it is essential to fight off evil as well. But here's where this movie clip comes into context with this verse. Read Psalms 94:16. It says, who will help me fight against the wicked? Who will stand with me against those who do evil? You see, most movies have this motivational moment, and then you hear the army go, like they're all crazy crowds, like they're just like loud. They're like, they're ready to go. They're inspired, right? You don't usually have a motivational crowd go crickets. You know, that's not normal. But isn't it in the world, though? Whenever you got crap going on in your life and you're like, who's going to help me with this? Do you usually have an army that's right next to you being like, let's go, let's do this, let's deal with this? Or is it usually crickets? You know, for me, whenever I was dealing with my dad's stuff in high school, I would have not been caught dead trying to talk to anybody in my school about my problems that I had with my dad. Because I knew that none of those kids would have, one, been capable, let alone, two, been reliable enough to help me. Not one kid on the baseball team that I grew up playing baseball with, if I would have talked about my dad, would have batted two eyes. Because, one, they're not emotionally ready to deal with that kind of stuff at that age. But, two, they probably don't care because they're a part of the world. So my question is, when you guys think about team and you guys think about getting people together and you guys realizing that you can't fight this alone, where in the world are you guys looking for those kind of people? Are you guys looking at your jobs? You guys looking in your houses? You guys looking at your schools? Are you guys looking at your clubs? Are you guys looking at your sport teams? Where are you finding these people that are supposed to be helping you? Where are you looking for this army that's supposed to be with you? I would like to offer that most of us look in the wrong places. I feel like a lot of us look to the world and people in the world to try to help us fight this evil off. And when you choose to look to the world, you better expect that the world's going to treat you the same way that the evil in the world is acting. If you guys look for these people, if you really struggle with insecurities and depression, and you find yourself a boyfriend or a girlfriend in the world, do not expect that boyfriend or girlfriend in the world to treat you as a spiritual child of God. You should expect some sort of insecurity to enhance. You should expect some sort of sexual immorality to show up. You should expect these things that the world does to people because it's evil, because they're in the world. If you choose to have you know, social issues and you choose to not know how to find clubs or organizations, and you join these hollow, and I'm not saying every frat and sorority is like this, but if you choose to join some of these frats and sororities, they're super hollow. And they're very surface, and they're very self-centered, and they don't really care about people, they care about success and status. No club or organization that really cares about you will charge a fee for you to be a member of that group. You should not have to pay money to find people that care about you. There's different motives, there's different things in the world that bring these people in. So when you guys choose to look to the world, when we choose to look out into the world to find people to help us, don't expect anything other than what the world offers those people. But what did Jesus do? Matthew 16, 18. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, my thought to you guys today in closing is if you want to find a team, if you want to know that you're not going to fight this evil alone, you need to find a church. You need to find a family of believers. You need to find a team that's going to have your back. And you're not going to find it in the world. There are so many things going on in this world. And if you think that, you know, there's something going on in religion right now that I can't stand, that there's a lot of churches going on that are saying, you don't need to be a part of a church to be a Christian. Yeah. That is the biggest lie you will be told and fed by the religions. People will say, listen, it's just between you and God. And that's true. Your faith is your own. But just like any team, just like any walk in life, you cannot do it alone. And churches will tell you, you don't have to be a part of a church to be right with God. You don't have to be a part of a church to be a part of God's mission. You don't have to be a part of a church to deliver God's plan to this world. And that is a lie, guys. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that you can win this life and you can go through this life and win over evil by yourself, you're fooling yourself. You really are. So many people try to live life and say, I will be a successful Christian in the world by myself without any help. And the world takes them in, chews them up, and spits them out. And there are religions out there, there are churches out there that say that same thing. And I'm trying to get you guys to understand, you need to find a family. Did Jesus come down, the Son of God, did he come down to this earth and say, listen, I don't need any disciples. I don't need any help. I'm the Son of God. I got God. I can live this life without anybody. Did he do that? Of course not. Jesus said, I need to imitate, I need to show these people what it's going to look like to have a healthy relationship with my Father. And that's going to happen when I have people around me. And so Jesus found people and he put them around him, and then he died and he said, stick together and go out and find more people and have them stick together and go out and build churches and stick together and go out and enhance the world. And that's our role. So if you guys are not a part of a family of believers, if you guys aren't surrounding yourself with other Christians, whether that be a physical church building that you show your butts up to on Sundays, or a small group ministry that you guys go to throughout the week, or a cross chat, or a cell, or whatever it may be that you guys need to involve yourselves in, if you're out here and you're saying, I'm a believer, and you don't have any other believers in your life, you better be looking back at that Bible and fact checking if you really are a believer. You've got to get connected. And we here at the Crossings Church believe that wholeheartedly, and we try to do everything we can to involve every single person that walks into that building a way to get connected to somebody else in this building. If you guys will, there's a communication card in your guys' bulletin, and this is how that happens. This is how that connection starts. And on that communication card is your opportunity to respond to anything that we were talking about today. Wherever you're at in this level, if you feel like you're a Christian, if you feel like you have this relationship with God and you're just looking for community, you know, maybe check that you're interested in small groups. Check that you want to get to know more about this church. Check something like that. If you don't really know what it is to have a relationship with God, if you don't know, you know that this evil is kind of just destroying you and you want to be something different. You know that you don't want to be like that anymore, and you know that it doesn't have to be like that anymore, but you don't know who Jesus is and you don't know who God is. Check that you want to have a Bible study, and people will come into your life and sit down and show you what God has to offer you. They'll say, it doesn't have to be like this, because read what God says will happen to your life. Read what says will happen. Here's the things that he's asking you to do. Here's the things that he's going to do for you. And check that's something going on. if you know that there are things that you are just so afraid of that have just overcome you in your life, with the abuse, with the neglect, with a bad breakup, with a bad situation, whatever it may be, you know, maybe check that you just like to sit down and talk with somebody. Check that you'd like to get involved with a small group. Check that if there's an addiction, if there's something going on, check that we have support services for people who've done the same things that you've walked through. Our church is, we are not a Stepford church. We are not a Stepford Wives church. We don't act like we have our crap together because we don't. And so if you feel like you don't have your crap together and you're looking for somewhere to go that's going to relate to that, this is the place to be. And I really hope that you guys will take that seriously. So what we're going to do to close out today is we're going to sing a song, and that's going to give you guys a minute to fill out that communication card. And then after that song is done, we're going to sing another song that'll give you guys an opportunity we're going to pass some baskets, and that's where you drop that communication card in. We're going to pass those baskets, and that's for your communication card. And guys, I'm just so glad that you guys were able to be here today. I encourage you guys, you know, come back, invite your friends. If you have friends or family members that are just, you know, trying to get involved with something, this is the place to be. I love it here. And I don't get paid to say that. You know, like, I love this church. I love this community. I would not be the dad or the husband that I am today if it wasn't for this community. The fears that I had growing up with my dad would have overcome me, would have taken me out, if it wasn't for people that stepped into my life to show me that God had something different to offer me, and I found that here in a community. And because of that, I found people that I've surrounded with that have taken those roles. Reggie Conley is like a dad to me. He is my dad. He has been more of a dad to me than my dad ever was. He's an older man in one of our ministries that works here at this church, and God finds awesome ways to fill holes the evil has destroyed in your guys' lives. And you will find that in the church. And I'm just so excited to see what can happen in your guys' lives today if you choose to have a response, just like Arthur chose to respond to fight this evil once and for all. Next week, we're going to play another movie called Harriet. It's based on the story of Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. We're going to have that next Saturday. We're going to have two showings at 11:30 and 6:30. And so, you know, invite your friends. We have free popcorn, free candy, free drinks, all those things. And we'll have a lesson next Sunday based on that movie as well. So hopefully you guys can come back, invite people that you guys are involved with in your life. But like I said, I'm just glad that you guys were here. I'm glad that we had an awesome day. And I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to say a prayer. The worship is going to come up, and we're going to wrap it up for the day. God, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about this stuff. You know, God, I don't talk about evil, I guess, a lot. But I know that it is present. I know it's here. And God, I know it's something that can be so damaging to our lives. But God, you've provided a church family for me, a community for me to get involved in that God has just really blessed my life. It's blessed me as a father. It's blessed me as a husband. It's blessed me as just a leader in this world. And God, I owe it all to you and to your son. And so, God, I just pray that people in this world, in this room, can look at their life and think about the things that they're trying to overcome, think about the things that they struggle with, and think about the community that they're looking for, and just have a response to sit down and talk with somebody and figure out what it is that we can help them with, Lord. That's why we're here. So thank you again for your son on the cross. Thank you again for the community of church that we have here, and thank you again for the people who are seeking you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.